Okay, Sunday morning, 4/21/24. This is another Prophet's Corner Uncut. The True History of the World is what this is called. And the Lord took me in this direction. And I kind of thought as I was doing it, maybe this is just a refresher of information that you're going to be able to share with people as you come across them. They're wanting to know what they've gotten to the place that they're scared enough that they'll listen maybe now. All right. Okay, let me wait for him to get down there. All right, the true history of the world. It seems that our existence to this point in time has been mainly war. Because of the fall in the garden, the seed war has been in play. All right, we're going to look at the seed war. This is Genesis chapter 3. You could say from the beginning to the end. Genesis 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the seed war. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. To put this in context, as we go into the millennial reign, is it not going to be so painful for women to have children? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. In other words, right here, thorns and thistles shalt it bring forth. Just dog eat dog. Just work till you die. Could it be in the millennial reign? It won't be that way. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that's what happened because of the fall, because of the serpent, beguiling Eve. Now go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation, no S. It's the book of Revelation. One revelation. Jesus Christ. There it is. All right. Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Then verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Satan started a genocide campaign from that day against God's children. A genocide campaign. Here's what genocide is. A deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group. His infiltration happened pretty quickly. We've been seeing it play and replay and replay and replay and replay to present day. We're going to look at that through scriptures. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So what happened? What happened? Let's keep going. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So this is, I guess you could say, the first reset. I don't know that Tartaria was the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Lord's not said that to me, but I will say this about them. They sabotaged them and stole everything, because all the stuff that you hear them talking about today, the free energy and all the good things that you hear, an advanced civilization that learned to levitate large objects to build the pyramids and do all of these structures that look impossible, doorways that are, a person looks like a dot upside of it, that they had confiscated and stole everything away from them, this whole big society, and this covered the whole world pretty well. So this devil and his minions were able to infiltrate and steal everything and cover it up so we don't know our history. All right, only because of God's intervention did man make it out alive. All right, go to Genesis 10. Now these are the generations, verse 1, of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Remphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and I have it down, so I'll read it, Lord. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Odanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their family, in their nations. The sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabtah, and Ramah, Sadakchah, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. All right, go to chapter 11. Babel means confusion. Confusion. Think about the earth today. Talk about confusion. All right. Just keep that in your mind. Confusion. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 first. Then we'll come back to that. Keep your hand there. Verse 33, 14:43. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Babel, Babylon, confusion. Then why would God's people use all their industries? Medical, financial, 501c3, Why? All right, let's go back. Genesis 11. God is not the author of confusion. Babylon means confusion. That's why we're living in a word I won't say whole. Verse 1, and the whole world is of one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Lord just quickened to me, over in Zechariah, I believe it's chapter 6. Is it 6? All the alien stuff that we're seeing today, it's in that book. Zechariah saw it, a craft of some kind. Looked like two women under the wings of it. Think about that. That's way back there. Nothing new under the sun. And let me just give you another little tidbit here. If they could leave this planet, they would. They can't. It's an enclosed system. There's a dome. And they can't get through it, even though Hillary has said it's got about, 3 million cracks in it. I don't know what she said, but she... They went to grave lengths to try to break through that. Through Operation Fishbowl was one of them. There's two or three others that they tried to crack the dome to get out of this place. If they could get out, they would. That's why they went underground. So I said, when the Lord comes, they're going to run for their holes, their billion-dollar underground bunkers. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't care what they say. We aren't the Star Trek generation. This is all made up to get us to believe a lie. So they can just finish us off. And they have the whole thing to themselves. It's what this is about. It's what it's always been about, this seed war. It's a small world after all, isn't it? And they said, go, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. So it right there with Nimrod, they were trying then to get up to the throne. Just what Satan has been portraying through Super Bowls and all kinds of their things that they do, their dances and all their satanic symbolism. It's all about breaking through and taking over God on the throne. Whose agenda is that? Isaiah chapter 14, I will ascend to the Most High. I will. Nothing new under the sun. Okay, let's keep going. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Every time they get so far, he goes, ping, and they all tumble down. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. There we are. All this silliness and all this stuff you hear from so many people about all this weirdness. Here it is in a nutshell, the history of the world. Right from the Bible. Very, very simple. If you could direct somebody to the Word of God, I'd say if you could just get them to read Genesis, they might get a pretty good take on what's going on here. Of course the devil's going to say, it's been messed with. And yes, we know a few words have been changed, but I believe that God, there's more to God than there is to man, that he's able to keep what we need to know, right? I heard Brad Barton say that the other night. He said, well, brother, the earth is flat or what, I'm not sure about that, but he said, we got enough to get us to salvation. Isn't that the major thing? And I thought, you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay. All right, let's keep going. I believe if God had not scattered them, he would have had to flood the earth again. And that wasn't that far from where he did it before. But he made a promise to Noah, I won't flood the earth again. He gave us the rainbow. They tried to start that too. But from what I understand, the LGBTQ flag is different from God's rainbow. It's got different colors and different arrangements. So, all right. Another restart. All right, go to Genesis 18. Now you can understand why it has to be the way it is. When we get through with this, I think you'll understand why we sit where we sit, why it has to be the way it is. Okay, Genesis 18, 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, Abraham. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. All right, let's turn on over. We're not going to read about Sarah's part here. Go over to 33. I should have put some more, but right here, 16. Let's just do 16. Start with 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know what God was doing? He had to preserve the seed for his son to come forth. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50, we know the story, 50, 40, 30, 10, 5, he couldn't even find 10. They had to destroy the city. You can read it on your own, chapter 19, about the destruction of the city. Why? What was taking place there? Homosexuality. We'll read a little bit then. Let me get over here. Okay, let me see here the part. I guess we could just, let's just start with four there. Now, Lot had seen the angels in the street, told them, well, come into my house. You don't want to stay out here. But before they lay down, verse 4, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them, him. He said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. But now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. In the New Testament, it says that it vexed. He was a righteous man, and it vexed him every day to live there. I'm thinking, why'd you live there? Or why didn't you run him out? Isn't that what God has always said? People just put up with and boycott, but they don't drive it away. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, shut the door. And they smote the men were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So the angels protected them until they could get them out of the city so they could destroy the city. All right, Judges 17. Verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So corrupt government corrupts, right? That's kind of what's going on here. There was nobody of righteousness standing in the gap and showing the way. All right, Judges 19. Now, chapter 18 talks about a man that he had a concubine that she played the whore, it says, and so she runs away, and he goes to his father-in-law's house and retrieves her. And on the way back, they encounter a situation just like at Lot's house, right here, 19. It came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him into her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, was there for her months. Okay, I'm gonna skip some of that, because I don't want to. All right. Let me see where I can start up again. All right, we're going to look at, he leaves his father-in-law's house, and now he's stopped in a city right here. This is verse 16 of 19. Thought I was not going to have to read all that, but I guess I will. Behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city, and the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? He said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim, from thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there shall no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provider for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. And the man said, peace be with thee. In other words, he takes him into his house. Now 22. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, set the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into the house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here's my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine, and then will I bring out now and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him, so the men took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night till the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon his ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. All right, long story short. Verse 20, they go in, it's the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin. They've been overtaken in homosexuality. Let me see how many thousands they killed. 25,000 men they end up killing the tribe of Benjamin. They killed so many that they didn't have enough women left for the ones that were left to have wives. They nearly extinguished nearly the whole tribe of Benjamin, 25,000 men. I think there were 600 left, something like that. All right. Homosexual agenda. See how, you know, I was thinking about when Obama connived with the Supreme Court, or however he sneaked it in, to approve same-sex marriage. This is when all this garbage started. Before you know it, we have drag queen story hour. And, you know, all this mess going on. And it has escalated ever since. See, this is a sin that it's above all sins. And in the old covenant, they had to take them out. Now, I believe today that they can be born again and be reprogrammed. I do believe that. But now you can see why you can't trust someone that's going to hurt the children. It's going to, you know, in this, you can't. You cannot let that, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and it pretty well has all over this nation. And it's been going on since nearly the beginning, since the seed war began. Okay. In our own nation, we have perished because we do not have godly leadership. Everybody just does what is right in their own eyes. When you know the deep state's in control, we're in trouble. All right, the earth was flooded with water. He took out Sodom and Gomorrah. 25 men slain of Benjamin. The Lord knows. All right. They were nearly wiped out. This is a genocide agenda, if you think about it. Homosexuals can't reproduce. Transgenders can't reproduce. Once you've had your surgeries, there's no going back. And I've heard several testimonies of people that are just sobbing in such sorrow and grief and feeling so bad for the younger generations that are buying into this lie because they've ruined their lives. And wish that somebody told them the truth. And wish that they could go back. But they can't go back. All right. We have been lied to about overpopulation. We are underpopulated. With our new leader that has God's plan, the Supreme Court has ruled that abortion issues should be decided in each individual state. Donald John Trump has made a firm stance against abortion. He wants to reward every couple that has a baby with $5,000. He wants to ban reassessment surgeries for minors. And he's talked about there's a legislation for infertility that he wants to put in place that couples that cannot have children would be able to be funded to help them to be able to get the treatment they need to have babies. Okay. Satan's agenda, the genocide agenda, has thought of everything possible to kill off all of us. Here are just a few. Birth control, abortion, vaccines, gender confusion or transgenderism. So, you know, like I said, we know somebody that's got a little granddaughter. I think she's 13. You think, I don't mean to be harsh, but I believe that's child abuse. Because that child, it's ruining this child's life. This child will never recover. She's already tried to commit suicide. At 13, confusion, babble. What did God say? All right, Genesis 1. We're going to have to start talking frankly whenever we do get in a place where God leads us to do so. I've heard one of my granddaughters say, well, we're overpopulated. I'm not going to have any kids. I'm thinking, that's a lie. Whether you like me or not, or you ever come back, I don't care. But I'm going to tell you the truth, dumpling. That's the way you're going to have to do it. Because everybody's going to have to make a choice. Right here. This is Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's God's way. God's way. These kids need to know God's way. They spend their time in empty pursuits. And I know when you're young, you enjoy life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But not to the point that it's going to lead you to the pit of hell. All right, Psalms 113:9. All these people with all the confusion about what's going on, read your Bible. Read your Bible. It'll clear up all the confusion. Don't listen to those that are going against the Word of God. That's pretty simple. All right, 113:9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. They've made everything that's good seem to be bad. Well, I want to make everything they've done that's bad, how God will turn it for good when they get in line with Him. Even these kids, I don't care. I know our aunt and uncle on the streets of London came across that transvestite. Don't know if this person had surgery, but evidently they'd had some chemical stuff because this trans woman was called Sheila. Sheila got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Sheila turned back to whatever his name was. He began to turn back supernaturally. God was turning him back to the man that he was born to be. With God, all things are possible. He's the only hope. Okay, Psalms 127. It's out. You can stop now. I'm not talking to y'all. All right. Enemy didn't want this coming forth. The Lord hath done great things. 126:3 for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We are not beyond repair. This was Psalms 126. I'm sorry, I read the wrong one, but isn't that good? 127. Well, let's start with one there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh it but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for whose soul he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of his womb is his reward. Or as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I wished I'd have had more. I could have been one of the Duggar family people. The Duggars or the Bates. Children are precious. All right. 128. Verse 3. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Verse 6. Yea, shalt thou see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Who's Israel? We are the church. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 18. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Okay, 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. All right, Matthew 19. We're going to have to be able to carry on a reasonable conversation and not be too complicated. To me, this is as simple as it gets. If all you do is direct them to the scriptures to read it for themselves, okay? 19:13. This is Matthew 19:13-14. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them. Transgenders and homosexuals cannot reproduce. It's a genocide agenda. The seed war is for Satan's seed to take out God's seed. That's what genocide is. All right. It is confusion, and God is not the author of it. I don't care how many people tell you they're Christians and they're homosexuals. Ain't happening. You can delude yourself right into hell, but it's not going to happen. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? If you love me, which camp are you going to hang with? Instead of us always being on the offensive, or on the defensive, excuse me, we need to be on the offense and say, put it back in their court. Well, if you want to play around with your life, that's up to you. But what I tell you in love. If you love him, keep his commandments. You can't serve two masters. Pick your lane. Okay, because there's not, I won't say there's no going back, but anyway. As a child, I had an angel that watched over me while I slept. Danny, there's that picture. Where did Danny bought me that picture. I believe he's still watching over me, even though I don't see him anymore. And there's one watching over you too. I believe that. All right. In this seed war, it is them or us. The problem is them, not us. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is biblical fact. Especially if a person's a Christian, if you can get them to realize that fact. This is a seed war. Go read Genesis 1 and what God said. It's a seed war. Just this week, here are a few things that I have observed just this week. On Brad Barton's channel, I didn't watch it, you were watching it, right? It had a church doing a transgender at a church doing a pole dance. At church. And if you say anything bad about it, you are the one that's spewing hate speech. I saw a short video of a teenage black male student walk up and slap his teacher across the face. I think it slapped her glasses off, and she made a noise like he could tell it hurt her. But she just sat there and just acted like she was unfazed and just right in his face, and he slapped her again. We're talking probably junior high. Well, he's been charged with 3 misdemeanors for what he did to this teacher. I hope he gets off. I mean, doesn't get off. This is in the classroom. This is what teachers are facing. I think moms are going to have to step up and get them babies out of that cesspool, that hellhole. Go home, be a keeper at home, raise them kids. Because they are supposed to guard the house. Mm-hmm. You know, most everything could be solved today in the church if we just go back to the basics of our own, what we believe. Right here, the Word. See, feminism has caused women to think they got to have a career or they ain't any good or ain't nothing. I know I felt that way for years. I felt like everything I did as a housewife and mother, it was not good because somebody else has a good job making money and all that. They seem to be a success, but no, I don't think so. I think obeying God is how you are a success. Not against anyone who does that, but that's just the way I see it. All right, let's keep going here. One school, I believe it's this is a middle school, and I guess that's junior high. Talk about the furries. There's a group of kids that come to school dressed as animals. And they've taken over the bathrooms with litter boxes and everything else, and they're mean to the regular kids. But if they tattle on those kids, they're the ones that get in trouble, not the furries. So they're trying to pass legislation to keep this garbage out of the school. I'm just going, I'll tell you what. Because you think you're a cat. You think you have the right to dress up like a cat and then go scratch and bite. That's what they're doing. They're scratching and biting the students. You tell me where we're living. Babel? Confusion? Duh, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure this out. I mean, this is really going on. All right. All right, the Georgia Guidestones were erected on March 22nd, 1990, and they were destroyed on July the 6th, 2022. For over 40 years, Satan's genocide agenda was displayed in plain sight for anyone who wanted to look at them. And that wasn't a little structure, it was a big structure. I watched a documentary on it, and you can get inside of those stones the way they're fixed. It has a hole in the center, and you can tell the earth's flat. You see the stars on their tracks going right over the top of that thing. See, they do what they do in plain sight. All right, it is not a conspiracy, it is a fact. Maintain humanity under 50 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Sounds like Satan, you know, reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. But all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. This is communism here. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. The explanatory tablet reads, let these be guidestones to an age of reason. That's what got us in this mess in the first place, reason. I watched a documentary on the stones about the flat earth, and I already told you that. They have been coined the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. Well, that timeline is no longer in existence because of what happened at Notre Dame. Because God's people started to pray. God's always heard the voice of his people when they cry out to him for deliverance. And he heard. And he is answering. Or we wouldn't be here right now. All right? That's why he woke us up. Okay, the guide stones are thought to be demonic in origin, and the creator, R.C. Christian, belongs to a Luciferian secret society related to the New World Order. The most widely agreed upon interpretation of the stones is that they describe the basic concepts required to rebuild a devastated civilization, a possible nuclear war, World War III. It's a blueprint for global enslavement. The Nazi World Order. The good news is it appears that this plan has been taken out and God's plan for man is prevailing. As the Lord leads you, let people know the truth. Challenge them to look in the Bible for themselves. Instead of being in our faces and saying, ah, oh, you're lying or calling us a conspiracy theorist, say, well, go prove it. Are you scared? Are you scared to look in the Bible for yourself and see maybe what I'm saying might be true? We're going to have to quit being so namby-pamby. It's going, well, we don't offend anybody. Is it offensive if you let them go to hell? In this, all the white hats show, is it just to wake up the populace? I hope so. I'm not sure. But I know this, the biblical part of God's plan is happening, and the seed war is fixing to come to an end. So, their day's coming. It's happening right now. It has been happening for a while, just we haven't seen it in the public.